earth awaits your coming in the sky. And I will praise you, Lord, over all. And I will praise your Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sunshine, fair still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines pure, Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine.
All right, well, hey, everybody, it is again good to be together on what is now the 17th day of May, and what is the 10th Sunday, hard to believe, but it is the 10th Sunday in a row that we have not gathered together, and it seems like we still have at least a number of weeks yet to go, as far as things are here in Tigard, and Washington County, all of which still feels surreal, certainly unprecedented in my lifetime. And with that, it all feels kind of disorienting. Many of you have mentioned feeling disoriented, each one of us aware of many who are right now facing into some very real struggles, some profound challenges, many who are facing a great deal of uncertainty, all of the unknown, the sense of isolation, the insecurity and anxiety, the angst, the dis-ease. In fact, no doubt not just those we know, but each one of us, albeit in different ways, but each one of us on some level is facing into those same challenges and struggles. And it is with that in mind today that I felt led to invite us to turn to an ancient letter known as Colossians, a letter written by a follower of Jesus named Paul, and with that to join together in the way of prayer, practicing the way of prayer, and what is perhaps one of the more significant expressions, and we can think back to last week's message, one of the more significant expressions of what it means to live the love. To live the love is to be a people who pray. To live the love is to go the way of prayer. S.D. Gordon, author of Quiet Talks on Prayer, it's one of my favorite reads I've shared from his book before. He writes, Gordon writes, the greatest thing, we could say the most significant thing or even the most loving thing anyone can do for God and others is pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of earth are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer. But I mean those people who take time and pray. We could say to pray is to live the love together, to pray for one another. We see this calling, if you will, to be a people who pray, a people who pray for one another all over the scriptures. To those in Ephesus, Ephesians 6 and 18, we read, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then from verse 19, pray also for me. From James chapter 5, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray and pray for each other. The Gospel of Luke 18, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. A reality we see happening among the earliest followers of Jesus. From Acts 1 and 14, we read, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And then again, Acts 2 and 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then here in our text for today, Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul begins wrapping up this letter, putting down his what we could say are his final thoughts. And he writes, devote yourselves, what is in the Greek in the imperative form, meaning it is a command. We can think of a strong exhortation. Devote yourselves, and then he writes, to prayer. The New Jerusalem translation, the New Jerusalem Bible translation reads, be persevering in prayer. Paul is talking about this unrelenting persistence in prayer. It is as if he is saying, he is writing, listen up, everybody, here it is, my final thoughts. Here's what I want to leave you with. And he gives us a command, devote yourselves to prayer, right? Be persistent, unrelenting, be persevering in prayer. And then, and here's where we will settle in. Paul then concludes with what our final, we could say, greetings, listing off a number of people, and with that demonstrating the importance of relationships, the importance of community, of togetherness. From the scholar David Hay, he writes, the church is not a faceless monolith. People need one another in the community. Even the apostle needs brethren and friends. And Paul here, he gives us these sort of pictures of what it means to connect, to be in prayer-filled relationship together. Inviting us, we could say, to live the love together in prayer. To pray is to live the love together, to pray for one another, right? Not just talk about prayer or say we believe in prayer or even try to explain prayer, but to actually pray. And so with that in mind, and now picking it up at verse 7, Colossians 4 and 7, Paul writes, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So step into this scene for a moment. Paul writes, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Keeping in mind, Paul is in prison. And this letter, it has to be hand-delivered, right? There are no phones, email, no Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, no FedEx, no postal service, right? There is, we can think of today, there is no FaceTime, there is no Zoom, right? There's no video conferencing. And to Paul, Tychicus is the man. And then it says he is also coming with Onesimus. So let's dial into this story. Paul here is in a prison cell, perhaps house arrest, but either way, he is in chains, and he has just written a letter to a group of Jesus followers, pouring out his heart to this community, meaning this letter, it needs to get to Colossae, or Colossae as it can be pronounced. And so we might imagine here is Paul, his prison cell, and he is wondering, who can I send? Who will go that has my heart for these people? Who can I send that shares my love and concern? Who can I send that will communicate, right? Share about my circumstances, but even more than that will be an encouragement to others, someone who can lift another's soul. And so as we read here for Paul, that name is Tychicus. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Is a dear brother, a faithful minister, a servant in the Lord. Now notice here, first he calls him a dear brother from Adolphos, Adolphoi being the plural. Keeping in mind over time, Adolphos, Adolphoi came to designate that community based on love, right? Living the love together in Christ. Next, Paul calls Tychicus a faithful minister. In Greek, it is the word diakonos. We've talked about this in the past, meaning one who serves. Paul goes on to add fellow servant in the Lord, what is soundoulos in the Greek, meaning a servant or a slave. And if you were Greek working in the house of an important person, they were the Lord, and you and all the others were soundoulos together, which draws me back then to you and me. Maybe today you are in that place. Maybe you need someone to come alongside. You need a Tychicus in your life, someone to help lift you up in the midst of your struggle. Maybe you are feeling isolated. Maybe it is financial concerns. You need a Tychicus to bring encouragement, to help lift you up, to share in your heart's cry. If that is you today, I want to not talk about prayer, but I want to pray for you. Or maybe there's someone you know. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. I want to pray this person, may they experience a lifting of heart and soul. So if this is you today, life is a struggle, let me pray for you. Or if this is a family member, friend, neighbor, join with me then in praying. God, we now ask today as a community, physically at some distance and yet one in spirit, a gathering of your followers. We ask, Lord, today in the midst of the uncertainty and the anxiety, we ask for those who are feeling discouraged, those for whom maybe life feels an extra bit heavy right now. Would you send your Holy Spirit, and through your Spirit, would you lift and encourage each one? And for each one of us, would you also move in us, bring to our attention, bring to our hearts and minds those moments when you would have us encourage another? Maybe today it is through a moment of reaching out. Maybe it's a phone call or a letter. Maybe through an act of service. However that may be, living the love together, may we be that for one another. Holy Spirit, we pray, come be our encouragement today as we encourage others in us and through us. Lift our spirits, we pray, in Jesus' name. Verse 10, Paul continues on, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas.
You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So here we have Aristarchus, which is a fantastic name, and he sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And then we get this note, instructions have been received, and that if Mark arrives, the church they are to, it says, welcome him. So what is this about? Well, if we jump over to Acts 15 and picking it up, verse 36, we read, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. In other words, Paul is wanting to do this, we could call this a reunion tour, to come together again, head out, visit all the familiar places, see how everyone is doing, familiar faces, which is something many of us, I imagine, would like to do right now, which is actually why we are planning for some Zoom gatherings in the coming weeks. More on that will be coming in the weekly email on Tuesday. The text goes on to say Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so here we have Paul and Barnabas having this sharp disagreement to the point it causes a split. And we read they parted company, right? They went their separate ways. But here, back in Colossians, we read this beautiful sort of reality. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does his other fellow prisoner, John Mark. Apparently, Paul and Mark have had some time to talk, some FaceTime. I don't know if it was 6 feet apart or not, or maybe it was on Zoom or Skype or GoToMeeting or whatever. And then continuing in verse 10, Paul writes, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. And what that tells us is a conversation has happened. The disagreement they had is not the end of the story. In other words, forgiveness is possible. Reconciliation is possible. Which is why Jesus came, right? Showing the way of reconciliation. But when we don't see eye to eye, there is still hope. And this is a beautiful story of just that. It's a story of reconciliation, which invites us then to consider our own lives, right? You and me, is there a relationship in your life that is in need of some healing? Is there a situation where conflict or disagreement, maybe a dispute, a difference has formed into a parting of the ways? Or maybe there is still contact with this person, but things are tense and uncomfortable. And maybe there are some things unspoken. Maybe like Paul and Mark, God is saying, hold on, this isn't the end of the story. Right? Forgiveness, reconciliation, maybe it's just around the corner. Maybe even now is the time to have that conversation. Maybe especially now in the awareness that we all have that life can change so quickly, so dramatically. Maybe now is the time to see if we can mend our ways, or maybe God's saying that grudge, that resentment in your heart, that bitterness. Maybe it's time to let that go. If that is you, if you have a relationship in need of healing, I today want to pray for you. If that is not you, maybe you are aware of family members, maybe friends, someone you know who is struggling, who is in need of some reconciliation in life, then I invite you to pray with me, to join with me. Heavenly Father, as much as we all long for relationship with you and others, we recognize relationships can be tough. Maybe even especially now in the midst of all the physical distancing and the isolation we feel, maybe it goes the other way and we feel a bit boxed in with little space to decompress. Either way, we don't always see things the same way as others. And sometimes we recognize we say and do things that are painful to others and ourselves. For those in need of a healing touch today, I pray, God, for you to come into those tender spots with your spirit of grace, of love, reconciliation. May you bring unity where there are disagreements. that our hearts and our minds may be renewed and our relationships restored. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And then verse 11, Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. And then we get what I think is an interesting line, seems a bit kind of thrown in some respects, an odd little verse. It goes on to say, "These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me." Now, why did he write that? Why did Paul write that? Well, remember, Paul was a Jew, and at this point in time, he is working primarily with those who were not like him. He was working with Gentiles, with Greeks. I think he felt comfortable around them, but these were people who didn't grow up learning about Yahweh, didn't grow up maybe believing in God, although they probably did believe in many gods. And perhaps Paul is saying, this ministry that I have been called to, this ministry that I have accepted, at times, it feels lonely. And maybe you can relate this morning. Maybe you are feeling that way. Maybe disconnected from others. And right now, it all just feels kind of lonely, like you are carrying on alone. And sometimes you think something has got to give, the strength for one more step. Maybe it seems overwhelming. Maybe it's just kind of this underlying current that just is there. And like Paul, you need others to connect with, who will listen to your struggle, who will listen to you share your story. We all need this at times, maybe especially at this time. But it means, even in the midst of social distancing, it means we take time to be together, to listen to one another, to care about one another, which again is exactly why this coming week we're going to begin some Zoom gatherings. What are, if you're not familiar, what are video gatherings where we can see one another and connect and share a little bit. And so I think that'll be meaningful. But if this morning you find yourself pressing into areas that feel lonely, and you are in a place where you need someone to listen, to be with, I want to pray for you right here and now. So if that is you, I invite you to receive this. If it's not you this morning, maybe it's a friend, a coworker, somebody on your heart and mind. There's someone that comes to mind. And if so, then pray with me. God, for those of us who feel alone, lonely, for those feeling isolated, maybe we pray for your Spirit to come right now to bring comfort to those places of loneliness and discouragement. And that maybe you are calling us to be an answer to this prayer. Maybe you are calling us to be that kind of people together today, this week, that we might be the body of Christ to one another, that we might stop and take time to be with one another, and of course in a distancing sort of way right now, but to listen to one another and to one another's stories. We pray this again in Jesus' name. Let's go to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. What if you knew beyond a doubt that there was somebody like that praying for you? Committed to praying like that for you, that you knew someone who was absolutely wholly praying for you. The phrase, "he is always wrestling in prayer for you," that word wrestling comes from the Greek agonizomai. It's where we get our word agony, and it means to participate or to engage in an intense struggle against strong opposition. Maybe you get woken up at 2:30 in the morning. Somebody is on your mind. Maybe you are in the middle of an activity. Someone comes to your mind. You wonder, where did that come from? And maybe knowing why is not the important thing. Maybe the important thing is that you are willing to stop and to pause, to wrestle, agonizomai, to be in prayer for whomever it is that God has burdened you with, to carry that sacrifice, that agony of wrestling in prayer. Maybe you are listening today and that thing is going on, that challenge, that struggle, that uncertainty, that painful place. Maybe things are closing in a bit, and you are needing that kind of prayer today, in need of someone to wrestle in prayer for you. Or maybe you are one who has been wrestling in prayer and you need someone to come and join you in that. That is you. I want to pray for you, or someone you know. Maybe it's not you, but maybe someone you know, a family, friend, neighbor. Either way, join me as I pray for you, as I pray for that one. God, We ask for, God, we ask for your strength. We ask for those who are wrestling in prayer, those who carry the agony that comes with praying for others, strengthen each one that we might listen well to your promptings, to be faithful to pray when you call. And for those who are in that place of deep need, we pray for that person right now and ask your Holy Spirit to intercede where we know not what to pray. And would you call upon your people here to lift those persons up, whether we know or not, the person or the need, may we be faithful to pray. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Verse 14, our dear friend Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, by the way, and also Luke's gospel, he is the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. So Nympha and the church in her house is where I want to zoom in for a moment, no pun intended. Paul says there is this little church near Laodicea. And there is this woman who has opened her home, and I can imagine, at least in part, we don't really know, but I can imagine she, at least a part of her, a part of Nympha, would think, I can't do this, right? I don't really know how to do this deal. I don't know how to lead. Maybe she's feeling a lot of insecurity and uncertainty, right? A lot of unknown. And to be honest, maybe she's thinking, why me? I mean, who would even want me to lead? I'm a nobody. Who would want to connect in that way? I don't have worth and value. I'm not important. But then imagine what happened when she heard her name. Maybe she was there that day in the midst of the gathering, and she's hearing this letter being read. Maybe her mind is even wandering a bit as the names kind of scroll by as the letter comes to a close, And she's hearing these names, and then she hears something about the brothers and sisters in Laodicea, and perhaps she maybe perks up a bit. She knows these brothers and sisters. This is interesting. And then she hears her name, and imagine what happened in her spirit. What happened in the midst of hearing her name to all that insecurity and that sense of not having worth and value, and that sense of not really being important. It's like Paul is saying, Nympha, you matter. You are important. What you are doing for the kingdom, it is important. It matters. You ever feel like that? In some ways, we might feel that way right now, living day to day, not sure what tomorrow will bring. And maybe you feel like you are doing maybe the best you can, and yet feeling inadequate, overwhelmed. It all feels very vulnerable. And yet that is what the world needs, a world in the midst of our todays and all of its brokenness. It needs a people who are following Jesus to enter into those often uncertain, tentative, often vulnerable, feeling exposed, risky sorts of places. So if that is you, if you are feeling in a bit over your head, maybe it all feels vulnerable and overwhelming. Maybe you feel less than, like what does it all matter? Unimportant. Or again, maybe not you, but maybe someone you know, a family, friend, neighbor. Let's pray together. God, come and be with us, with those of us who are feeling overwhelmed, maybe today by the reality of a broken world, by the reality of our own brokenness, and wondering, who am I anyway? Maybe feeling unimportant, like we don't matter, don't measure up. Come, have mercy on us, we pray. Remind us that it is in our weakness that you are strong, and that if you are for us, who can be against us? Lead and guide our steps as we seek to do your will, even in the midst of this challenging time. We pray this in Jesus' name. And then verse 17, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Archippus, for whatever reason, is a bit singled out. I imagine that he probably felt maybe something of awkward and maybe awesome all at the same time. Have you ever had that moment where you feel like you have been working so hard, keeping on, but you're worn out, you're tired, distraught, not sure if it's even worth it, not sure if you're really making any sort of real difference? Jody Hills, author of Imperfect Life, she wrote this beautiful sentiment for those in that kind of that place of feeling tired and worn out. She writes, grace sat with me until I could walk in it again. Right? It's this picture of you and me in that place of exhaustion and that place of just being worn out and tired. And there is grace sitting with us as long as it takes, giving us moments of respite, rest, release, as long as it takes until we are ready. So often we begin in that place of grace where we're invited to participate in something beautiful, but then we slowly over time, we find ourselves continuing to carry the burden, thinking we somehow have to do it all in our own strength. Maybe you're feeling that today. If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. If it's not you, again, maybe someone comes to mind. And if so, pray with me. God, for those of us worn out, tired, feeling like it's just a bit much, not sure if we're making a difference, God, would you sit with us in that place? Would you so fill us with your grace? May we find refuge there, knowing that when it is time to go again, grace will be leading our steps and give us the strength to sit in that place of rest until we can walk in your grace again. We pray this in Jesus' name. And then verse 18, bringing this to a close, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains, grace be with you. As we close, Paul writes this, and I can imagine it's kind of, hey guys, we've talked about Aristarchus and Mark, Epaphras and Nympha, Archippus, but I also need to tell you about me. As I write this with my own hand, I need you to remember my chains. I need you to remember I'm in prison, locked up, and it's really, really hard. And notice here, it's interesting. He doesn't say it'd be nice to get out or come get me out. He just says, remember, think of me, remember my chains. And in a sense, remember my story. And then grace be with you. So how did Paul do it? How did Paul spend day after day bound, changed? How did he make it day after day and hang on to his faith? Well, Philippians 4 and 12, Paul gives us a clue. Writing these words, he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Which if you are like me, these are words that you need today. I need them today. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do this coronavirus thing through him who gives me strength. Paul experiences a strength from the Spirit of God within him to be able to do what he otherwise would not be able to do. That word strength, it carries the sense of to make one able or to give capability. It is the Spirit of God at work in Paul. It's the Spirit of God at work in you and me. Without it, Paul was lost, and so are we. But Paul knew where his strength comes from. He knew beyond a doubt that he was not able, he was not capable. He knew he didn't have the strength, but he knew grace. He knew that absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God, the grace that is here and now. If today you are feeling like you are not able, if today you are feeling like you are not capable, if today you are feeling like you don't have the strength, let's close one more prayer. God, thank you for the testimony of Paul. Thank you for the testimony of this letter. And for each one, God, for each one, whenever and wherever today, in the midst of the stuff of life, when it can all feel a bit much, when it can all feel overwhelming, for each one feeling not able, for each one feeling not capable, without strength, the need of a touch of your grace, I ask today for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Give us the strength we need. In our weakness, be our strength, that we might walk in your grace for this moment, this hour, this day. In Jesus' name. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer. May we be a people who take time to pray, to live the love together, and to pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.